Okay, good morning. Let's assemble ourselves to worship together. And got a couple of things we need to do. Okay. First of all, let's go into prayer. And then I want to go into song. But before we go into song, I want to say something about it. So let's begin with the word of prayer and get ready to worship together. Which is what we're going to be studying. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that you are a God who wants us to pray to you, desires for us to communicate with you, desires to hear our words to you, Father. And we are just so thankful for such a God. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with on page 404, if you'll open at it, 401, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, before we sing it, I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, let's talk about being able to say it, and then know what we were praying and talking about. So if you look on the third hymn, third verse, and you'll come down to the second line, and you have Mount Pisgah. Okay? You see that? Now, the thing about that is, if you will study it, that's in Psalm and Deuteronomy chapter 3, and it's when Moses was up, and because this is why I want you to understand why it's in the what it says here. So it says, let me put on my glasses. till Mount Pisgah, Lofty's height, I view my home and take my flight. So if you're looking at it, what he's saying is, I look at earth now, getting ready to go to heaven. And that's what Moses is looking at the promised land, but doesn't go in to the promised land. So that's where we'll be playing in that regard, singing in that regard. And there's just so many verses have different lines, different things that are so wonderful in regard to Sweet Hour of Prayer. So let's stand and sing together.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Distress and grief my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care, and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share. From Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home. take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Now it should be on. Good, okay. Now, in regard to prayer and requests and things in that regard, we got a family that pretty much is dominating our prayer list today. Lauren, father, Larry, is doing much better. And he's home from the hospital, and his legs are getting better. They're not good. They're not perfect by any means, but they're getting better as far as his breathing is concerned. Now, her mother, Beth, came down with number 19, and not very badly, though. She is already coming over Volus 19, and she's weak, but she's coming out of it very well. Now, that's not enough. Cameron, their older son, has come down with COVID-19. And so, Chris is not here because he can't come. He can't get out. Go here to church or to work or anywhere. So, Cameron is coming down with our Cameron's wife. Is not, but Cameron's come down with COVID-19, so please be in prayer there. Now, in regard to the family, the boy, Chris and Ben doing okay. Ben doing well, nothing going on, except his family's now come down with number 19. Nick, please needs our prayers. Is getting ready for school, and so please be in prayer as he starts the school, and please be in prayer for both Chris and Lori at this time.
And Lori's brother's family, apparently there's possibility of COVID there, and also Addie, Cameron's wife, they live with her parents.
But they don't have it if they're
not saying they do. She's just saying prayers.
Yeah, needs to be up there because that's where they are. Yeah, that's right. That's where they're staying. So the whole family needs your prayers, people. They just wanted all of our prayers. But we'll sneak in a few more prayers in regard to all of that. Any prayer that you have, I've got a couple more, but any you have, yes.
I got incredibly good news this week. I have had a series of surgeries to address my glaucoma, and I had a great checkup, and they've taken me off all eye drops.
Wow, very good.
I had a miracle.
Very good.
And they said it's really improved the health of the eye because those drops are kind of caustic, so they were irritating the eye.
Now, did your husband help you with all of that?
I just want to say that we solved the skunk problem in my neighborhood.
What did you do?
We just hunted them down.
There'll be more next year.
That was a highlight so far, Mike.
Oh, very good. Oh, Laura, we're very happy for you. Yes.
I want to thank everyone who prayed for me when I was doing my eye surgery. It went well. It's doing well. And also for all of those who called to check on me to see how I was doing. I appreciate that so very much. And also I have good news from my niece Sheila. Her tumor is shrinking. So Jeff, do you remember the centimeters? It was like down to seven.
Wow, very good.
Whatever that means, and in shrinkage, but it is shrinking. So
very good. We'll put that in our query. Doctor, Zahal, tell us the difference between 9 down to 7. All right, very good. Thank you. Yes.
I have a customer of mine, son-in-law. His name is Sean Marshall. He beat colon cancer 3 years ago, and now it showed up in his lung.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know him. In fact, I've never met my customer, but she just texted me and said, please pray for her son-in-law.
Wow.
It's pretty aggressive.
Wow.
Sean Marshall.
Sean Marshall. How old is he?
She didn't give me his age. I didn't ask.
Okay. We'll be in prayer for Sean this time. Absolutely.
Beyond God.
Okay, we'll be in prayer. All right, any other prayer requests? Please be in prayer for my wife. She has some very good days, and then she does not so good of days. And she and her doctor are still deciding what to do and how to defeat the problem. So please be in prayer for Judith at this time. My friend John Hintz, called. He has a girl in his church, Barbara, who plays the piano, and she is under a lot of weather trouble, so please be in prayer for Barbara. And then we talked about Bill, and in fact, the whole family doing very well because getting ready for votes going forth in Mexico, and they're now going to try to fight who has the most wealth and are the most weapons and to fight each other. So please be in prayer for Bill and for the entire family.
I was going to say they're dealing a lot with the drug cartel.
Yeah.
So just really, you know, keep them in prayer for their protection.
And it's not a good place to be right now in that regard. So please be in prayer there. All right, any other prayer requests? All right. Let's see. Well, let's just pray now in regard to things we've got to do in this assembly. How are we doing as far as
just in case if you didn't hear it last time, we were able to extend the contract with the remote survey in Arizona for 3 more years. And as of this past July, we have reached 154 countries. But for this year alone, however, we only have reached 80 so far. If this is a normal trend, by the way. Usually, as time progresses, the smaller countries usually would come on. They don't come on very often. But there are some countries that used to come on like every year, every month. They started kind of fading out, and we don't know what it was. You know, whether they have technology problem or some other kind of problem. So I did request last week, and I'm going to request again, please keep our listeners on the internet in your prayers.
Okay, thank you. Any other prayer requests? All right, listen. We've got these things. We've got get ready for your young people and take care of the bills. So let's go into prayer and for the offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in our sweet hour of prayer. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords in this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have a copy of this morning's preparation for study? Do you know how to pray? I think that I wished I would have changed that from do you know how to pray as to do you know why you should pray? Because I wanted to be talking a little bit about whether or not why we should be in prayer. So a lot of people pray, but why do we pray to God in these things? So let's begin with the word of prayer, our study in the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You're a God for whom we can pray, a prayer who desires us to pray. Pray now, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to see and to understand our prayer and our prayer life. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We've been studying the book of Ephesians. Hadn't gotten very far. But the glory of Ephesians is in really verses 1 through 14, or actually 13 through 14. Verse 3 through 14. Now it's brought into, this study has brought into the apostolic prayer from Paul in verse 15 and following. This is where we are. We've gone through the study of verses 3 through 14, and now he's going to go into prayer. So let's just read verses 15 and 16. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease, and this means I do not cease, giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. This is his prayer, and it is a powerful prayer. Now, the greatness of the blessings prepared for every one of us in eternity past, in verses 1 through 14, and the most precious plan for God, for every believer. It does not matter how good, how horrible history is. God has a marvelous plan for you. This passage lays it out, makes it clear. You have to have no fear, no worry, no anxiety throughout your entire life. God loves you, and he has planned a marvelous life for you. And that is what the first part of Ephesians chapter 1 is about. The first message of Ephesians is so important. I hope you learn it and never forget it. Now, I don't have it on mine, but if you open your Bibles, let's just read. Let's just read what we're going to be praying about. This is about the prayer that is going to be given by Paul because of what is happening in chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. So let's read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a phenomenal beginning right there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. All through this is about God the Father. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, with which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He bestowed on Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. Now, we've studied all of this. It took a lot of time. I don't care to know how long, but we've been in chapter 1 for some time. But now, let's continue. Now, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. Also, when we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His own will, to the end that He who were the first, that you and I, the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. I just want to tell you that through the whole study, the entire study of Ephesians, is not about unbelievers. It is not about them. It is about believers. Where we came from, what we're here for, and where we're going and why. It's not about the unbelievers. It's about the believers. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this study. Now, God is never shocked. There was never a time when God was not aware of your needs. There are troubles that often come as surprise to us in life. But God has been aware of every need we have every day and of our lives. And not only is He aware of our needs, but He is also ready to supply our every need. It's an awesome God. You just be ready to trust Him. No matter what goes into your life, you can secure God's possession. This security in your life was set up for God by God before you ever came along. Therefore, a question, which came first? You or your security? And we know security was first. Every need that you may have came before you to be met. It came from God. Paul is a great teacher of the importance of God's Word and God's plan. And here Paul is so overtaken by the teaching of the Word of God that is causing him to go into unbelievable prayer. It should guide us. Note the beginning of verse 15. For this reason, which refers to what? When it says, for this reason, this refers to preceded in the 14 verses that we've read. Preceded in these verses. So for this reason are the things that occurred, verses 1 through 14. What precedes is the declaration from God, verses 1 through 14. It should be translated, because of this. Because of the things that have been wrote about in verses 1 through 14 are for this reason. This is because what the plan of God declared in these verses, verses 1 through 14, contain some of the most wonderful, beautiful teaching in all the Word of God. I want to repeat that. This verse, verse 1 through 14, contains some of the most wonderful, powerful teachings in all the Word of God. What is here declared is the eternal plan of God. Eternity past, now, and future. It is very important, very difficult for us to understand eternity past. It is very difficult for us to understand that there never was a time when God did not exist, did not live. There never was a time or a point when God was not perfectly happy, perfectly satisfied, and in perfect control of everything. And for the record, for your knowledge, after you die, especially the beginning of eternity future, you will be eternally happy, eternally satisfied with your existence. That's how wonderful our God is. So it says, so they, because of this, or for this reason, Paul now reads himself into the plan of God. He's been talking about verses 1 through 14, and now he's going to talk about himself in the plan of God. Therefore, verse 15, for this reason, I too. He now comes to himself. I too. Having heard, Paul has heard some good things, good messages about the believers in the Roman province of Asia. Now, here's get back to math, to our study a little bit. It's an aorist participle. Again, I told you I'm not going to get involved in too much of that, but every now and then it is important. And the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. Now, let me just tell you, what you're getting ready to see is where he's going to go, but what brought him there is the aorist participle. So, therefore, what do we have? Now, what's the main verb? Not cease. Next verse. Next, not cease. Keep thanks for this season, for this reason, or for this reason, I cease not. Now, that's where he's going. But first of all, understand where he's been. So we're going to look at what he heard from these believers. And what he heard from the believers is what is going to cause him to pray about what he's going to pray. So that's where we are. For this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Okay. Paul has heard that these believers heard of the Lord, and then they put their faith in the Lord. That's the first thing he heard of them. That here they are in this area of the province of Asia Minor. They heard about the coming of Christ, and they believed in Jesus Christ. Now, look at the next phrase. Your faith, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Got the two things? Your faith and your love. Your faith, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Paul first heard that they knew of the Holy Spirit. He knew it because he taught them. He knew of the Holy Spirit, the living of the Holy Spirit. And they knew about the love that comes from the Holy Spirit by faith. Therefore, their love toward one another is our word agape, our love of the Holy Spirit. Question. I wonder how many believers love by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you pray, when you express love, do you do it in the power of the Holy Spirit? When you pray simple little prayers, thank you for the food I'm about to eat, to very serious prayers, do you do so in the power of the Holy Spirit? That becomes the great issue at this point. Do you know how? Now, they knew how to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. And secondly, they have this, love toward one another. This is what he learned about these believers. They had love toward each other. It is amazing how many believers do not have spiritual love toward one another in the assembly. I hope that isn't true here, but I'm sure it is at certain times. Do not have love, spiritual love, toward one another. I'm not talking about love that you have in a family. I'm talking about a believer for a believer. It is so wonderful for many believers in the same assembly to get together and have spiritual love toward one another. We come in, all the different lives, business, interest, the disasters that we have in our life, COVID-19, illnesses, all these. But do we have spiritual love toward one another? There are many obstacles for believers to come to the assembly with others to worship God. This is one of the things we do. That's why we come here. Today in COVID-19, many believers stay away from the assembly at church. Well, I might get COVID-19. Well, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. So they don't come. Therefore, they lose out on love toward one another in the same assembly and miss out on worshiping one another. That's what happens when you don't come. You don't have time. When you, I'll get sick. I'll get COVID-19. On and on and on. I'm not going to go and sit and worship with other believers and be in prayer with them. But it is really a wonderful, powerful blessing to assemble with each other and worship together and love one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. First, you have to have filling of the Holy Spirit. But also, you have to grow in the Word of God. You see, spiritual love is from the power of the Holy Spirit, but also it is improved and important to be part of studying the Word of God. You grow and you start growing in the Word of God, a growing in the Word of God, and therefore love toward one another in the plan of God. This spiritual love between believers causes others to love being with them. I want to go to church. I want to go to that church. I want to go for what goes on there. Okay? That's what I'm saying here. I pray that many of you will start assembling with each other to worship together because of this. You know, I want to go. I want to go and spend very short period of time, very short time, to study the Word of God, to pray with one another, to worship with one another. Now, Ephesians 1:15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. That's powerful. Do not cease, I do not cease, giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. In verse 16, Paul begins his thanksgiving on the reason for praise in verse 15. Now I want you to note in verse 15, note two issues in verse 15. Faith and love. Note that. Verse 15, the issue. Faith and love. Paul has heard of their faith in Jesus Christ. And he's heard of their love for each other. How wonderful is that? To hear about a local church filled with believers who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but who have love toward each other. Has nothing to do with their money. Has nothing to do with how they look. No matter what they drive or walk. None, all of those things. It's their love from the Holy Spirit in them. Their faith in Jesus Christ. So here's the greatest issue of believers when they come together. Their faith in Jesus Christ and have the filling of the Holy Spirit so that they have spiritual love toward one another. Think about one another. Start coming into the parking lot. Lay aside all your problems, all the things got going on, what you're going to be doing today, and on and on and on. Or, I don't like this person, I don't like that person. Forget all of that. Think about these are believers. We're here to worship God. Get that into your soul before you ever walk in to the church. For believers who now have faith in the Holy Spirit and love for one another, now each one grows together in the knowledge of the Word of God and in prayer for each other. We're adding something to our study now. Study, learn, learn, learn. Now we're going into prayer. Prayer. Love for one another and prayer. Paul now says, it says in verse 13, I do not cease. I hope you don't. Giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Paul gives thanks to God for these saints. Let us daily be in prayer for one another and give thanks to God for each other. I'll tell you right now, I give thanks for each one of you. I give thanks for those of you who are not able to come, but I give thanks to you especially who come to the assembly to worship God. Question. Are you thankful for other people? Are you thankful toward other believers in church? Not in a general way, but truly thankful for other believers. Yes, we should be in prayer for unbelievers. Yes, we should be in prayer for our family members. But the entire book of Ephesians is about believers praying and working with one another in Christ. Question. Is someone thankful for you today? Someone thankful for you today? I can tell you right now, I know one who is for you. But are you thankful? Is there someone thankful for you being here? Why are you thankful? Why are you thankful toward others? Is because this something they give to you, some money they give to you, or is it because of their faith and relationship with Christ? Do you give thanks to someone because you love the Lord and they love the Lord? Because you love the Word of God and they love the Word of God? And that's why you give thanks. Do you give thanks to God because that person comes to church and the very fact they come causes you to want to come to church too? Just because they're here. Now, do you give thanks to someone because they believe in Jesus as their Savior? And this gives you joy because they love the Lord? I give thanks by name every day for many of you in this assembly because you love the Lord, because you love His Word, because you love one another. You care about each other. That's what I give thanks for. Now, please note in verse 15 that Paul remembers and is thankful because these believers love one another. This should cause you to be thankful to others, toward other believers. Note in verse 16, Paul now tells them of his prayer of thanksgiving for these believers. Thanksgiving. The issue in Ephesians is for believers. There is not much in all of the book of Ephesians for non-believers. Paul begins with his constant prayer for these believers. You should note Paul's continual prayer for those who have believed in Jesus Christ and are growing in the Word of God. I'll give you some examples. Romans 1:8, 1 Corinthians 1:4, Philippians 1:4, Colossians 1:3, 1 Thessalonians 1:2, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Philippians, the whole fourth chapter. You will note the reference to their spiritual love for one another. Every one of these live out with claims in their life. People, that's important. I am thankful that you live out what you claim you believe. Not just say it, but you live out that way. Not just claim it, but that's the way you live. There's a big difference. A lot of people are good talkers. I'm talking about those who, at home, different places, it's what's here in your prayers, what's in real. They come to the assembly, grow in the Word of God, and love one another. I come to the assembly, grow in the Word of God, and love one another, and let's go ahead and put the next one and pray for one another. Now, how are we taught to pray from the Bible? How do we talk from the Bible? First of all, let's look at Jesus. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew. How does Jesus tell us to pray? Take a look. Matthew 6:4, 6:5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. That's the way you want to pray. We'll pray in church. We'll pray with friends and stay in public. But prayer Jesus Christ is talking about, where you get into serious prayer, you go in, close the door, go into prayer. So we first taught to pray to God the Father. Secondly, we are to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Third, we are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. So, let's get to work now. Lex orando, lex credenda. The law of praying is the law of believing. So, this is your prayer. Five, life. Okay, point one. Study of prayer. People, why should we always pray to God? Why should we pray to God? This may surprise you, but God desires to hear your voice. God desires to hear your voice. This is one of the reasons why God created angels and why God created mankind. It does not matter if you're joyful, thankful, hurting, angry. He desires to hear your voice. Have you ever received nothing but silence from someone you love? Silence hurts. Silence hurts. Why does God want us to pray? A child that will not talk with his mother or father troubles his parents. A husband, a wife, who will not talk, not communicate, but is just silence, is troubling to that in that silence. I'm not going to talk about one or two of you that talk too much, even in marriage, but that's a relationship, communicating. We all know about David. David was a man after God's own heart. Question, are you a man after God's own heart? Are you a woman after God's own heart? Have you ever wondered why? Why is David a man after God's own heart? He is a womanizer, a murderer, an adulterer. But he is a man after God's own heart. Why is that? God of David always comes right back to God and prayer to God. Just read some of the prayers in the Psalms. He cries out to God. He prays for forgiveness. He prays for help. He prays for deliverance. He prays for praise. And he prays complaining to God. But David always talked to God, with God in prayer. God desires to hear your voice in constant prayer. Constant. Today, all through the day. Tonight. Today, tomorrow. And just always in prayer with Him. Talking to God. That's why we pray. Why do you pray? God wants to hear your voice. You may not have thought about it, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. God desires to hear you pray to Him. You do not pray to God, He'll let you know about it. He'll let you know about it. Okay, any question on that? Okay, let's go to number two. Prayer should always be proclaimed in thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. For what do you constantly give thanks to God for? What do you constantly give thanks for? Think about it. It is very important to give thanks to God the Father. The more you give thanks for someone, the more you give thanks for something, the more you will appreciate that person. You give thanks for your wife, you give thanks for your husband, you give thanks throughout the day, you will value them. You will mean something to them throughout the day. They will mean something to you throughout the day, night, because you value them. This is the great issue. For example, when you give thanks for your assembly, you value your local church. Do you really value it? If you don't have time to thank God for it, it is not a big deal. If you don't need to be there, you don't need to be there. If you need to be somewhere else, that's fine. It's just not that important. Or do you have to give thanks to prayer to God for your assembly? This is your assembly. This is where I come. Sit and listen to Phil teach and study the Word of God. Listen to Kit dealing with judges, listening to the teaching of the Word of God. Coming to other believers, all kinds of life, problems, tests. I know everyone has, but we all come together. Do you thank God for that? Is it important to you? That's what's the issue here. Do you give thanks to God for others in the assembly? If married, we should give thanks every day for that person for whom you're married. Throughout the day, give thanks to God for the person that God has brought into your life. Big deal. Then there's your prayer. There's your problem with your prayer life. Go into prayer. Give thanks for your children. Give thanks for your parents. Give thanks for your local church where you learn the Word of God. For you, and give thanks for those people. Give thanks for worship, fellowship with others who are like-minded. Remember, the more you give thanks, the more you will value something in life. The more you give thanks for a person, local church, these things, studying the Word of God. Just thank God. Thank God. Get to study the Word of God. Teach it, but I can learn it. Read it, read it, read it. The Word of God. Any question? Thanksgiving. Okay, number three. different prayers emphasize different things. Thanksgiving is vitally important to our prayer life, as we'll see in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I can't make it any clearer. In everything, everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Things start really getting worse in America history. You're going to be able to continue to give thanks. Or Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name authority of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Wait a minute. Both of these passages say to give thanks for all things. But what about praying about bad things? Simple things like you or someone that love COVID-19. Please learn about your God. Please learn about your Savior. They are able to have all things work together for good. They're able to do that. Illness, deaths, sicknesses, loss, financial loss, lose work, all these type of things. Your God is able to turn it into good. Do you believe that? Sounds good. But do you really believe it? Do you really believe that issue? Do you really believe it is to the point where you will start giving thanks to God for everything? Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Wait a minute. Death, loss of work, health, on and on. Is that good? Yes. Do you know how to give thanks for that? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, there's a qualification on it now. To those who love God. And to love God, you've got to love by the Holy Spirit. Not just love Him, you've got to love by the power of the Holy Spirit. To those who are called according to the will of God. Do you know how to pray that way to God? When things are not going well, things are not going well at all. You know how to pray? If America loses and falls, and some of us older people, been around for a long time and love this country. But what if it's all over? What if we become a communistic country? What if we become those things? Do you know how to thank God? To plan God? What God is going to be doing for His own plan? For the church age? For the end of the church age? The beginning of the tribulation? The coming of Christ? Do you know how to thank God? Thank God! It's going to happen. I just got to tell you, I have a friend, Phyllis Music. She and I will talk about it, these type of things, and we end a lot of our reigns. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Do you know how to pray that? Remember, the 2 points on Romans 8:28. Two things working to good. To those who love God, to those called according to the will of God, forward toward always remember. Let's take a look now. Romans 6:18. Ephesians. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on all my behalf. I pray this. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me. And I especially pray for that since last May, and continually do, working on speaking and reading correctly. Here is Paul. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to maintain, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and in proclaiming it, speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I can tell you right now, my wife is praying for my speaking. I know that. Right now. Okay. We got time for number four. Number four. Order of prayer. Very quickly. Order of prayer. As you can see from these few examples we've gone through on prayer, prayer is addressed to God the Father. I have heard various pastors and believers complain about this. I want to pray to Jesus. Well, that sounds cute. That sounds nice. It is not scriptural. And the same is true while praying. We should pray, not pray, for the Holy Spirit. All prayer is addressed to God the Father. First, God the Father is the author of the entire divine plan. That's the name in what we've been studying in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 15. Over and over it's been about Jesus, it's about the God the Father. Secondly, please remember that Jesus came to bring us to the Father. Why did He even come? Why did He come? To bring us to the Father. Oh, it brought me to salvation. Why? To whom? To God the Father. That is why Jesus came to earth to bring us to God the Father. I want to pray to Him. And then thirdly, therefore we pray to the Father because His authority of, and because of our position in Christ, and we pray in the power and guidance of God the Holy Spirit. And fourth, all facets of prayer demand our faith and our trust in God. The Father, that our prayers will be answered, and then our trust in the Holy Spirit, that He will guide us to pray. We'll come to that later. In accordance to the will and plan of God. And He will teach us how to pray to the will and plan of God. Not my will, not my plan, but God's plan, God's purpose. And remember that we can all call Him Father. We can call Him Father because of our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Not until Jesus Christ came did anyone pray to the Father. Now they talked Him Father. The Jews talked Him in the Old Testament. Never prayed to Him as Father. We have this privilege because we are in Christ, the Son of God. How to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit? One, admit inability to pray.
Wait a second here. Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, that last two comments ago, you drew a differentiation between how the Jew prayed and how they named God versus how we pray and name God.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, explain that one.
Okay. They knew him as God. They knew him as authority God. God. But they didn't know him as the Heavenly Father. We get to call him Heavenly Father because Christ came here and Christ called him Heavenly Father. John 17. He called him Heavenly Father. And because he calls him Father and we are in him, he's our Father.
Okay, but you just said that in the Old Testament they didn't call him Father.
They did not call him Father. In prayer.
Oh,
they recognized him as Father.
Which art in heaven.
Yeah.
That's calling in the Old Testament.
But throughout all the Old Testament, in the study of the Old Testament, there's not a prayer to God as Father.
Okay, this name that shall not be spoken or designation, and then the use of Yahweh, how does that fit in there?
That's who they pray to, Father, Pharaoh.
They pray to Yahweh.
Yeah.
Without realization that Yahweh was God? Or
no, they knew he's God, but not that relationship of Father.
Okay.
We have a relationship with him as our Father. They did not have that.
Okay, we're not playing semantics here. We're playing a definite different view.
Yes. They did not come to him as their Father. They came to him as Father, authority, power, all those things, but not their Father. Jesus did. Jesus prayed to him as their as his Father. And now we can pray to him as our Father.
Okay.
Very good.
Uh-oh.
I think I just made that clear that, yes, they prayed to him as Father, but they don't address it. We address him as
his Father, but they did not.
Because he is our Father.
Yes.
We are his children. They didn't realize that he was their
Father.
Their Father, but God, Yahweh, right?
Adonai, yes. Okay.
They thought they were Abraham's children.
Yes. Yeah, good.
And Abraham God was leading Abraham.
Yeah. So, well, we'll resume here next Sunday. We've got a lot to cover and some important things that we've got to cover in regard to prayer. Any questions about prayer other than what we've just covered? Yes.
Why make the distinction, since you've taught us many times that it's the Godhead, it's the Trinity, they're all, why now make the distinction to only pray to God the Father as opposed to praying to Jesus Christ or to the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't, if we pray to one of those other two, still include the Godhead?
Always has been that way. I didn't just start doing that. We've always prayed to him as Father.
No, I'm okay with the Father part. I just... The distinction of praying to God the Father as opposed to praying to Jesus or the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Godhead.
Okay, in the church age, the division is well pointed out in Paul's writing and John's writing, and we have those three.
Okay. Gotcha. I do. Thanks.
I think the real thing with me is that we go to, because we pray in Jesus' name, but we're going to the Father in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' authority.
Because that makes us righteous with God.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Okay.
With the power of the Spirit.
Yeah, with the power of the Spirit. Spirit. Absolutely. Got anything else?
Mike, you had your hand up.
Phil?
Well, I was kind of agreeing with it.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, it's that relationship that you didn't see in the Old Testament. It was acknowledgement of God. It was not even a great understanding of the Godhead in the Old Testament. You know, you see references where God calls himself we and things like that, but there wasn't a relationship of the Israelites to a Savior separate from the Father, or in the, or with the, even for the power of the Spirit, you know,
or the Son.
This is our advantage in the church age. Not only that we know, understand that there's, that God is three in one, but we have personal relationship with all three members. They all have their place and their point of relationship in our life. So we have that plan of the Father. He's the authority. We address to Him. We can only do that because we have that established relationship through the work of Christ. And we can only do that because we have the empowerment of God, the Holy Spirit. So prayer is not just some powerful thing out there. It's all three aspects of personal relationship with the Trinity.
Yeah. Very good. Kit, you got anything?
I think Pat had mentioned what I was thinking is that Jews often looked at Father Abraham.
Yes.
And when they go to heaven, it was in the bosom of Abraham.
Yeah.
So you have that sense of, like say, relationship. They were in Moses, where we are in Christ. And Christ is the Son of God. And when Christ said, I'm my Father, when he's talking about God, the Jews wanted to crucify him right then because, well, that's making yourself out to be God.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't understand that relationship and that position in Christ is something new as part of the mystery.
Good. So is this all that brought up?
We're good.
Good. Yes.
Well, I'm trying to think about God in a more tangible form, and
that'll get you in trouble.
Yeah. I'm thinking of God like the computer, like here. You see this, the PC. That's a computer. Without the monitor and the keyboard, I can't communicate with the computer. So Jesus is my monitor and my keyboard, my mouse. So then, how do I actually make a connection? I need a cable, so Holy Spirit is the cable.
Good.
That's a way to
do it. Yes.
Oh, I was just thinking that too, in Genesis, even the Jews, when they're studying the Torah, when God, and He made us in our image, or He made, so they cannot, they don't know what the our is. Because that's plural, in our image. He was made in our image, which is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but they don't understand that.
Yeah. Did you have something?
Oh, I just Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a child son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
He's definitely the Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they knew that.
But that's what the child's name will be called.
Yeah.
Everlasting Father. You want to throw that in the mix?
So he'll be... No! Oh, I tell you what, we've been talking about prayer in our study. Prayer for toward and thankful for one another. Just thankful we can come in here and just talk this way.
Amen.
And we had 1,400 people. We couldn't do this. So I'm thankful for all of you that are here. Let's close in a word of prayer. We stand amazed of a God who wants to hear our voice. That is amazing. So many places on this earth do not care to hear our voice, do not want to even hear it. We can be poor, and yet you want to hear our voice. We can be anything on earth, with or without, and you want to hear our voice. That is awesome. What kind of God wants to hear our voice, wants us to go into prayer, wants us to talk to you throughout the day. Father, we praise you for the God you are. We praise you for your word that reveals yourself to us. Pray, Father, that we can use the things we've seen today to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.